Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some glue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
They're your
fellow,
your very best friend.
Can we? This is what I'm going to do. I'll be back in a second. We need to talk conspiracies for 2020, or at least wacky things to look out for in 2020. Such subjects include: we still have no motive for the Vegas shooter, and we never will. There's a terror cell being built in the southern portion of the United States, in the Texas, New Mexico, Arizona region. Jeffrey Epstein is either dead as dirt and was murdered, or is alive as hell, and that was a fake autopsy. There's a whole lot that we could really dig into.
I've got another good one, too, we should at least touch on.
So why don't you throw that one out there, and I'm going to go and tap into this Appalachia, and I'm going to mute my mic, and I'll be listening. Throw it out there.
Tap into all the right. Spirit of Appalachia.
I will. I'll be back. I'll be Appalachian in just a second.
I'll be back Appalachia in just a second. Womp womp.
Oh, God. Rim shot.
That was the worst.
Shit, what were we talking? What was the one you wanted to touch on, Paz?
Yeah, I think we need to at least talk a little bit about the supposed earthquakes in Iran, because I think that there's decent evidence that they might have actually been U.S. kinetic strikes, not earthquakes.
Yeah, I saw about that. Like, I saw just enough of that I was kind of surprised that I didn't see anything else about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, well,
just
kind
of the bare mention.
Are we actually recording then?
No, I got the whole thing, so you could just keep going as if we're recording.
Okay, sure. Sorry about that, Bird. But, the latitude and longitude line up perfectly with the Iranian nuclear facilities. And being right there on the coast as well, you know, the Persian Sea is going to suppress a lot of actual evidence. But we already know that Trump has deployed MOABs and bunker busters before. So I don't think it's out of the question that he would continue to do so, especially against a facility like that in retaliation to their alleged or supposed aggression.
Yeah.
Now, furthermore, what makes this all the more interesting, I think, is I had word from another separate Twitter follower that hypersonic weapons development is progressing at a much faster and more widespread rate than people seem to believe. Like, we all know it's in the works, but apparently it's a project they're really pushing for. So between these factors, I don't, like I said, think we can rule out an actual kinetic strike.
Yeah, I mean, I would not rule that out, like, just because, like you said, I'm not seeing the link. Did you post that on the Hangout?
The Hangout text box, yeah. The chat box there in the lower left corner.
It didn't come up for me. Can you send that in the DM so I can?
Yeah,
check
I'll
up,
do but, that.
But yeah, like I like the location of it from what you're saying immediately is suspicious because the timing it's too perfect. Like,
right?
And I mean, you know my default status on everything and the nature of ops. And the connection between the two. So my default position is, yeah, that's like way too suspicious.
And while we're talking about that, I want to give a shout out specifically to my boy who passed along the data, if I can, real quick. Mm-hmm. That is Reactionary Badger at SoWisco89. Really great guy, great follow. Just wanted to give him props and commend him for passing that seismic data along to me.
Right. Let's see. The only thing, because I've actually looked There's a guy on YouTube that I follow called Dutch Sense, and I've watched his stuff for a while. He does mostly American seismic activity, but he'll do live streams and stuff. And he has like the Earthquake 3D program, and he'll broadcast that. But I've actually learned a lot watching him, and one of the things that he talks about is that the depth of the strike actually makes like a significant difference, as like the deeper it is, the more likely it is to cause subsequent quakes in neighboring fault zones. And looking at the data here, it's reading as a depth of 10 kilometers. Now,
yes,
that, from what I understand, that's relatively shallow, as far as
it would seem.
Go. So
it would seem. But here's the thing: if it's so shallow that it wouldn't trigger follow-up shocks, that makes the second earthquake in near exact the time frame all the more suspicious, right?
That's weird.
Right.
That is. I didn't know there were two. I didn't know there were two of them. Oh my god.
Yeah, and usually from what I can tell, like, since they're very close in magnitude, like the earlier one was 4.9, the later one was almost an hour later, like almost to the minute, was a 4.5. And from what little I've learned, like, it's unusual to have them that close in magnitude, because it's usually either the first one is an indicator of a stronger one that's coming, or the second one is an aftershock of the first one, and it's significantly less strong.
So we're talking two very similar ones.
Right. Which, I didn't realize they had so much seismic activity in that area, because there's quite a few.
That doesn't surprise me, because, I mean, right next door is Afghanistan. That's some of the most rugged terrain in the whole world. So, beyond that, like, Iran is, like, I mean, geographically, very close to the largest mountain range in the whole world. It doesn't act. That doesn't actually really surprise me. I don't know, man. Though, like, when you put it together like that, there were two earthquakes of similar magnitude. They shot down a Ukrainian civilian plane.
We need to talk about that.
That's
too.
Bizarre. Too. You know, that does.
If you'll permit me to put just one more piece of garnish on the earthquakes before we transition to the jet.
Sure, because the jet.
I would
is
also
like,
point out that there was massive seismic activity at a North Korean nuclear site shortly before they were forced to begin negotiations again about their nuclear program.
No shit.
That
huh?
is true. Yeah.
So, you know,
what the hell is going
on? It's kind of circumstantial, but it's weird how that just always seems to crop up right when the U.S. needs to negotiate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that is. That's spooky. I don't know what that could be from. Like, okay, here's the thing. I'm not the conspiracy guy. Everybody knows this, other than my one conspiracy about Hillary Clinton selling her soul to the devil. Other than that,
that's not even.
That's not even really that much of a conspiracy theory. I'm not usually a conspiracy theory guy, but I can't explain that. You know, I would like to see what do they call them? Seismologists.
I'm
not one to trust science. But if I was going to, I would trust a seismologist. So,
well, here's something that I'll say about that, because the guy I was talking about on YouTube, Dutch Sense, from what I can understand, again, this is not confirmed, and I'm going off of a single source here, but he has attracted a lot of attacks. Like, people have taken down his YouTube channel with mass flagging before.
Oh, man.
And like, he goes against common seismological dogma, because one of the things that he's talked about, and it's one of the things I find interesting, is fracking earthquakes.
Oh,
and
yes.
He like he'll go like, and I've seen it. I've been watching him broadcasting live until show like Earthquake 3D. What it is, it's basically a picture of the globe.
Yeah.
You know, fake as shit. You know, there's no real globe, but
good one.
An earthquake will hit because it uses live USGS data.
Sure.
It shows where it hit and indicates the depth and the strength of the earthquake. So what will happen is one will hit, and it'll be like a 3.0, 2.7, in that range. And he can go in and zoom in where it's at, and it'll be, you can tell from the satellite images that it's in the middle of a fracking operation, because you can tell from the way that they're aligned and like the
Tanks
that are nearby. So the common consensus is that fracking does not cause earthquakes. Well, he's going against that.
I was going to say, I've always understood it actually does cause earthquakes. That's interesting.
Well, there for a long time, no one would admit that they do. But, I mean, how could it not? It's hydraulic fracturing.
Yeah, yeah, like, right. Of course it's going to...
If you're literally rattling the inside of the earth, how do you not cause an earthquake?
Yeah,
exactly. And the other thing that he's postulated is that it's not necessarily a bad thing either. But, for instance, he postulates that using the fracking to disperse the energy into a smaller earthquake actually might be preventing energy from building up into a larger quake. Basically, by triggering it, you know, with the fracking, you may actually be preventing it from getting worse.
Oh, Jesus.
But again, yeah, that's all stuff that's like counter to current seismological ideas. So he's not very popular. So
who's fracking, though? Who is it? Like, that brings up the question, who is fracking
dude,
in Iran?
Bird, fucking everyone is fracking everywhere.
Fracking everyone.
You think, but do you think this is... Do you think this... I noticed that Steppy has been sitting there in stunned silence, by the way. do you think that, like... Are you suggesting that Iran is... Iran, that's... Oh, my God. Are you suggesting that Iran is fracking itself? Or that there's tactical warfare fracking going on? Because that would be wild.
Well, I'm asserting even wilder that Rods from God is going on there, and that's
That was my assumption.
Oh, I don't know what that. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't really know what that. How do you saddle? How do you satellite frack?
This is a good one. So I can't take this away. You gotta tell them what a Rod from God is, Paz. That's too good of.
Oh, I've seen these before. Didn't we see this during the California wildfires?
No. That was a directed energy weapon theory.
Oh, yeah, that's totally different. That's using a satellite microwave to fry the earth.
Damn, but they got a whole lot of technology we don't know about, huh?
Dude, so I'm going to use this opportunity to actually call back to one of my very favorite video games.
Okay.
You will
be judged.
It didn't get a lot of traction, it didn't seem like. But did any of you ever play Tom Clancy's End War?
Yes, I loved that game, actually. It was a great...
It was so freaking good.
It was like a real-time strategy game / Total War game / Company of Heroes, and your camera was attached to your units, so you couldn't actually look at... It was very inconvenient, and you had to play it with a controller. It was a fun game, though, because it was like you could do military operations in a city, and you could, like, run...
But
groups and
stuff.
Do you
remember when the game was set, Bird?
2050? It was the future, right?
It was 2019, 2020.
Oh, shit! I didn't know that.
Of course.
And
wow.
If you remember, the end game weapon for the U.S. faction involved satellites dropping telephone pole-sized rods of metal or granite or these ultra-hard substances from space to effectively create nuclear blasts without radiation.
Yeah.
And that's the idea of a kinetic strike. That's the rod from God. You're literally dropping an object that will accumulate so much kinetic energy on its descent from orbit that it will just fuck up whatever it hits.
Wait, so are you saying that Tom Clancy pre-programmed this?
Yes, and I'm also saying that's why Obama had him assassinated.
I have to be honest, Paz, that is one of the most ludicrous things I've ever heard in my entire life. I here.
Well, see, what's funny is that there's actually been what's her name? Brianna Wu was talking about the dropping rocks from the moon.
A reputable source.
Well, to go back even further, Robert frickin' Heinlein himself postulated it in his masterpiece, The Moon is a Harsh Mystery.
But a sci-fi writer. Yes, a sci-fi writer. Yeah. Absolutely. A journeyman of our time.
America's 20th century.
No, for sure. He deserves a lot of accolades. But a science fiction writer, nonetheless. How are you going to get any object large enough to be heavy enough at gravity's free fall speed to hit the ground and cause a mass earthquake without any trace of the object itself? That's crazy.
It's not about leaving no trace. It's about the complicit media branding it as something else.
Right, but we haven't seen...
Here's the thing is, you don't necessarily have to leave no trace. You just don't have to.
But you guys are
not making nuclear blasts.
To be fair, you guys are attacking the weakest part of that argument. How do you get an object heavy enough into space to then drop it back so that it causes seismic activity at a level that's really measurable over a large distance? That's crazy. How could you do that?
It is pretty crazy, but I mean, in theory, like, I'm not a astrophysicist or whatever.
Well, they're not even real. I mean, listen, by the way, this is all assuming space is real, by the way, and right. I'm not even sure we can really make that assumption.
Suspension of disbelief, you know, if space was real.
And by the way, I'll direct you over to my slithering associate over there to tell you about how space is not real. We've done a lot of research on this.
But theoretically, if space were real and you could have a satellite, I mean, you could put it up there in pieces.
You are talking about a tremendous amount of effort that nobody would notice and a tremendous amount of coordination. And absolutely possible. But like, I don't know, man.
This is the conspiracy episode, man.
I don't know, man.
That's exactly what we're
talking about. If it's, you would see that thing falling from the sky. There would be videos of it. It would have to be so tremendous.
You mean video in that country of Persia that regularly shuts off its internet to suppress information from getting out?
Yeah, but it's not shut off right now.
Yes, but remember, there was also a plane that got shot down, and we had were like two shitty videos.
Sure. Again,
and
the evidence
from
part
God
is
goes
the
faster than that.
Why? Because is it launched or dropped?
It's dropped, but the thing is, it's going very quickly by the time it hits. That's
well, I mean, it's going as fast as gravity.
I would like to point out that it's not just straight up dropped; it's propelled from the initial set.
That's what I want to know
because a launch mechanism.
But the problem with that is but free fall speed, you only go a certain speed, right? And you will slow down. If you're not at that speed, you don't speed up, you slow down because of drag. So
you're talking about terminal velocity is what you're getting.
Right. We are talking about a tremendous object. Tremendous. Like larger than the Statue of Liberty. It would have to be tremendous.
How big do you think it has to be?
Yeah.
I mean, provided you have a sufficient density, it doesn't need to be that big.
You could, I mean, what could we possibly have that is so dense? That is so
tungsten.
Tungsten is very dense and very. What do they call that? Very abundant as well.
It's also very heat resistant.
And it's actually also. Do you know where you get tungsten from? Right? Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan.
I wonder if we have not left Afghanistan.
No, Iraq. You remember it was like 2008 or something like that. And it was, I forget who president, I think it was Obama, was talking to. But they had said, I heard this on a recent podcast. I really wish I could get more sources than this, but I know you guys believe me. I'll see if I can find it later. There was this guy in 2008 and he was an advisor for Obama. And he said, look, we can't leave the Middle East because of the tungsten deposits. So apparently,
well, yeah, that's exactly what it is. They've become vassal states so we can farm their precious metals.
Oh, yeah,
and
I mean, it's neocolonialism, bro. It's fantastic. Anyway, that, okay, tungsten. Really, we could do the, we could get somebody who could calculate this, like, or we could probably do it ourselves. If at
so if I can throw this out there, the math has already been done.
Oh, really?
You guys are familiar with our, with Morlock Publishing on Twitter, right? Travis Corcoran?
Of course, yes.
If you've read his books, he's done the math already.
No,
you know,
shit.
In one of his books, he postulates just dropping a ship full of gravel from orbit.
No way. How? But how big? And how, like, what was the level of... Okay, what were the earthquakes? What was their magnitude?
It's 4.9 and...
Okay.
4.5 was the other one, I think.
So, okay.
Yeah, 4.5.
So a four over... And how far was it calculated to have gone? Do we know where it, where it reached to about that? This was the epicenter.
What do you mean?
I think that that's dependent on the terrain, but I think that that's a relatively standard calculation.
That was the epicenter? That's usually how they do magnitudes, is that the epicenter?
Yeah.
I'd like to know where the epicenter was.
Well, the epicenter was right on top of Persia's goddamn nuclear facilities.
And you think if they dropped a fucking object on that that caused a 4.0... seismic activity of some kind or another, that that would not rupture the nuclear facilities and there would be massive chaos and radiation and Chernobyl levels of destruction? Do you think, you know what I mean?
Well, Chernobyl was an op, yeah, first of all.
A 4.9 wouldn't be enough because you got to remember Fukushima.
I love,
like,
by the
way,
I'm sorry.
9.
This is why I love you guys, because this group, it, the fact that he just said Chernobyl was an op, by the way, and gee, you just go, yeah, yeah, and you know, by the way, like, you you just passed Chernobyl was an op, which is fantastic to me.
I've been very clear about my position on ops. Like, I feel like that's part of my brand.
Sure,
so,
fair enough. All right, yeah. So
yeah,
you were saying about the speed of the fall and the weight of it. What were you saying?
So, all right, I actually, because this is on Wikipedia. Like, we're not making this up on the fly.
I don't
so.
Think you are. Yeah, let's see. What is it? What are they called again?
It's called kinetic bombardment, and this is literally the system described in a 2003 United States Air Force report.
Okay,
was that of a 20-foot long.
Uh-huh.
1 foot diameter tungsten rod that are satellite controlled, have global strike capability with impact speeds of Mach 10. So according to their own released information, that is what they are, like, have theorized. And that was from 2003. Project, it goes back further. They had one, it was called Project Thor. Which was the telephone pole size.
Which, by the way, Mach, can I just, for everybody, Mach 10 is classed as the high end of hypersonic, which means that the metal rod would be going at 7,680 miles an hour, a ton in weight, would be going 7,000 miles. So basically, yeah, okay. So now we know what we're working with. That doesn't sound like enough to cause an earthquake to me. I don't know. But anyway, keep going.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that totally could just be me. Like, that, it could...
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
that could
so
totally just be
me. It goes on to say, in the case of the system in the 2003 report, the cylinder of that diameter impacting at Mach 10 has a kinetic energy equivalent of 11.5 tons of TNT.
Okay, that would cause some seismic activity.
That would cause seismic activity.
That would certainly cause seismic activity.
Whether or not this was an actual kinetic bombardment strike is, you know, that is what I think that we should be, you know, discussing. It is an actual concept, and it could cause it if the theory...
There's, like, a lot of... externalities here that have to work out, but
there are a lot of externalities.
This is a definitely, like you say, I mean, I'm looking at it. This, the math here is I mean, I don't know math, so I wouldn't know.
Right. Math is fake.
The important part's not the math. The thing you need to let people need to start learning about math is that it's not consistent.
I mean, you mean to tell me that the Bedouins invented the zero and then all of a sudden every number in the universe works?
Yeah, no. Seriously? It doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. One and three are the same number if you think about it. This is definitely a thing that has my, like, okay, fine. So 11 tons of TNT, that absolutely would cause a 4 on a seismic scale. So now you've accomplished the... Is it possible for something of that weight to do that if it's going at that speed? Yes, it is.
Right. Yeah.
The problem is you have many more questions that come out of that. How did we get that much up there? Well, you used assembly. Okay, fine, fair enough. How do we propel it to almost super hypersonic speeds? How do we get it to that level from space in such a short period of time without any trace? Those are like three questions in there. So you got to answer all those, but I think you can. I think you can answer them.
So first of all, if that is a hypersonic speed, then how do you trace it in the first place?
I don't know. Can you not trace hypersonic speeds?
Well, that's part of the reason why people are so concerned with hypersonic weapons, because they're almost uninterceptable. Oh, you know, sure. You just can't get a fix on them fast enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, the calculations in order to track it are beyond current capabilities, because we don't need to track anything faster than a certain velocity right now, so why would we have bothered? You know what I'm saying?
I suppose, but I also feel that if one is developing such weapons, what is the old saying? You know, if you develop a weapon, you better develop the defense against it. You know, like...
Right.
Well, and that goes back to what I was saying earlier, though, about my other inside source making me aware of the fact that hypersonic development is significantly far more advanced than people are even thinking.
Right.
Is.
And the other thing...
I'm just going to say that's an actual insider. That wasn't just shit talk. Someone who would know.
All right.
The other thing is that even if there are the capabilities to track... hypersonic weapons, they're probably not deployed. They're probably in black sites.
Well, then they didn't use them on Iran.
In development. It doesn't sound like any of it's even finished.
I was going to say, then they didn't use it on Iran.
No. I was talking about the ability to track hypersonic.
The countermeasures, he's saying.
I don't know. But again, if you develop a weapon, it's like the first nuclear bombs, Bird. Yeah, but
you know, if we're the first one to the offensive technology, we're not worried about stopping it yet.
I don't know if that's true.
Conceivably, no one else could do this.
I don't know if
China's
that's true.
China's space program isn't on par with ours.
No,
you know, who else is going to try?
But look, who's already talking about a space force? I mean, that's just public. I don't know. I really do feel like, you know, if you're smart about this and you're going to develop the new thing, yeah, you gotta develop the defense against it because you know it's getting taken from you. I mean,
yeah,
they know.
Yeah, but that's on a longer timeline.
Is it? I don't know. If I'm working at NASA, I know there's probably a spy in that freaking room. They must know that.
Okay, well, if you're working at NASA, you're already worshiping Moloch, and you're in the same club as the rest of them.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to say, and also, it's all fake anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
Give me a second to crack a LaCroix, gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead and crack that LaCroix.
There are 16,000 people on the Space Force
that's
role
unbelievable.
Right now. So.
That's like almost shout out to the Fagcast Live 436 listeners to this live episode, gentlemen. I'm really proud about that. It's really great.
The live episode?
Wait, what?
Yeah, guys, we're doing a... I'm winking very hard. Hey, guys, we're doing
episode. I'm actually looking at getting into live content myself, so I'd be super impressed if that was the case.
Oh,
so
man. That'd be
awesome. That'd
be wild. Let's get off of kinetic bombardment. That was good, but we have a plane to talk about. That's the other weird...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the plane is
Steppy, I want to get you in on this. I got to get your thoughts on the plane thing first, right? Have you thought about it? You know what we're talking about? The fact that they shot down a Ukrainian plane?
Yeah, I haven't really dug deep here, but I don't trust anything involving a plane or a ship. Like,
yeah, right.
That's my policy.
So here's my thought. Did you guys see the satellite footage of the strike that Iran made against, I believe it was Al-Assad, the airbase. Did you see these?
I have not yet.
So the I retweeted them. Maybe I could find them again. The strikes are incredibly precise. They are, I mean, there's a barracks. There was five. I saw five missiles. There was a barracks. It looked like a plant. Maybe a couple barracks. Every strike, every missile was, and you could see the explosion, that the hole that the explosion made was directly in the center of everything. Every barracks was hit right in the middle. The plant was hit right in the middle. It was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Which is scary as shit to me, because the way that our military talks about other countries' militaries is like they're a bunch of bumbling idiots. I just kind of believed that for a little while. Yeah. And then I saw the accuracy of these military strikes, and I was like, oh, they could, if they did have a weapon that went fast enough, they could strike the fucking Empire State Building dead on if they wanted to. I don't believe for one single solitary second that someone accidentally hit that airliner. Looking at the precision of those strikes, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
Well, that, and, like, they're definitely not the same type of missile at all. Like, a surface-to-surface missile...
No,
like,
you're right.
...would have been hit. Like, that's totally a different... That's a completely different frame.
Sure.
A chassis.
Sure.
And, like, the warhead is entirely different, because a surface-to-air missile is designed to create shrapnel and just... shred the plane.
Sure.
Which, from what I like, from the pictures that I've seen,
that thing was shredded.
Like, again, it looks shredded. I don't know how much I trust the pictures. I really don't trust anything about, like Steppy said, I don't really trust any information.
Gotta find who took
about
the picture.
This particular.
Yeah.
Like, the only two things that I've seen that seem relatively, relatively innocuous as far as suspicion are the two cell phone videos, which the first one that came out was the guy who
was watching
it crash.
The picture
of
the plane falling? Yeah.
Yeah, where you could actually see the flames and you saw the explosion after the impact.
Sure, yeah.
And he from what I've seen, the translation of that one, he's actually talking about it being a plane and being on fire.
Yeah, sure.
So that one seems pretty legitimate, and that one, I mean, there's not really any reason to fake, because we know.
Well, that's funny. You know, you can tell the ones that aren't faked, because the ones that aren't faked really don't tell you very much at all.
Right. So the other one that came out, I think, in the past 24 hours, at least as far as I've been able to tell, is the video of the supposed missile explosion. And that one, I don't know about that one as much, because there's no the audio track is kind of suspect on it, because you hear at the end, you hear what sounds like the explosion of the missile, but the person filming doesn't say anything, and the video itself isn't very clear. So that one I don't put as much veracity on its face, but the first one with the actual crash, that one seems pretty legitimate.
Yeah, I agree.
But as far as the circumstances, I am very suspicious. It definitely, I am confident in saying it was not an accidental strike as part of the bombardment of the Iraqi bases. That just does not make sense on its face, just because of the nature of the difference in the weapons.
Yeah,
so that's just wrong.
Accidents like that really don't happen.
Yeah.
Although, and here's the only thing, it was launched out of Tehran, and supposedly the missile strikes were also launched out of Tehran.
Right.
Now that, it has been said that the plane was hit, like, during takeoff. That's the only, I'm glad they put that in the story, right? Because that's the only way, is that even plausible? I mean, the only thing that's weird about that to me is... Where are the missiles placed in relation to where that airport is? That's crazy.
Well,
Yeah, so I mean, what's the idea there then? That a missile hit close enough that it was able to just happenstantially shred the plane?
Well, I mean, it would have had to have punched a hole directly through it. Yeah, it would have had to have punched a hole directly through it. Because if that picture's real, which is the one they said was real, so this is all their story, so we have to put it all and see if their story makes sense. It must have punched a hole directly through it. It's a giant hole.
So the only thing that I can see that makes sense is that if the bombardment was out of Tehran and the missile that hit the plane was out of Tehran, the only thing I can think of is that they thought that it was a military plane.
And which they couldn't have. Yeah, which they couldn't have.
I mean, it would be incredibly inept stupid to be able to disturb.
That's why I prefaced this with the accuracy of the missile strikes. Remember, it's the same people. It's like,
right. But here's the thing: is the you got to remember, if I'm not mistaken, the missiles that they were using for the actual bombardment were a Russian design.
Yeah,
they're not like an Iranian design. They're not like a tin pot dictator design. They're actually like legitimate global power weapons. Uh-huh. It's just the people shooting them are not necessarily of the caliber.
Which, I don't even know if that's true anymore.
I don't know that that's true, but at the same time, we also are in the situation where they shot down a civilian aircraft for what appears to be no reason.
Well, they say the reason was an accident, so I guess, I mean, you know.
I can't believe it. That's plausible to me, but the plausible part of that isn't that they accidentally shot it with a surface-to-surface missile. It's that they thought that it was an enemy aircraft and shot it down for that purpose.
But they say it was in those strikes. It was one of the missiles in those strikes, which means it was a surface-to-surface, so it's
that is patently false. Like, that just is not possible.
Right.
Like, everything I know about munitions tells me that that's bullshit.
Must be an explanation. Somebody has to have given an explanation about this, right? There must be.
Right.
You're right.
Well, none of the people who would give an explanation are worth trusting on this either.
You can't trust the official story because obviously they're going to lie and say it was an accident or whatever.
Sure.
But you also can't trust the U.S. version of events because they're implicitly and explicitly biased in this case, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I really can't trust anyone's official story currently, you know?
Right. Yeah,
the real moral of that story is don't trust anyone except the people you hear on this show.
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
because it's blind leading the blind. So it's the only way we can all be sure. All right, I guess we could get off of the Iran stuff.
There's just not enough information.
No, there's not.
Reliable. Whole lot
of, I'm like, glad we're not at war. Well, we are at war. I'm glad we're not in a hot war. Great, and that's really all that I know.
Well, you know, again, going back to my kinetic bombardment shit, don't be so sure it's not a hot war.
We'll you see. Know? Yeah, yeah. It, I guess you're right.
I also feel like
Donald. I'm sorry. By the way, I'm like, so
there's
sorry.
There's not a shooting war.
No,
there's not a,
it's
a conventional
not. It's an economic
shooting
war
with an invasion.
Well, and we kill their
not
proxies.
A conventional war as we know it.
Yeah.
Conventional war is obsolete, anyways. You know, and I've been saying that for over a decade now. Shooting wars are just done.
They do. Yeah,
they pretty much are. Like everything we've seen, at least recently, has been proxy warfare. Like this is actually one.
Y'all are talking way too soon into this decade to be sure. Just remember how this decade started.
What?
I wish I could share your optimism.
It's not about how this decade started. It's about the trend of almost the last 100 years.
Pause. There's no such thing as trends, and you know it. everything okay, is temporary.
Well, yeah, you know, that's fair enough. I'll concede you this one, Bird.
All right, let's move on to the fact that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered in his prison cell.
These
sloppy motherfuckers.
Bad, right? Okay, so hold on. Let me think for 1 second. Okay, I think we should discuss we should definitely discuss the autopsy first, because I believe it was you and I who were having a conversation about the massive conflict in interest that autopsy guy is. I think it was you.
Yeah, Michael Baden. That guy is a walking, talking op.
Yeah, go ahead and give out some of his credentials, because I told these credentials to some people and they were like, "Oh boy, that's not
so
great."
This medical examiner is the same guy who was there examining Kennedy's body. He was the same guy who presented forensic evidence at the OJ trial, and now he's cropping up at this.
What?
He has been specifically chosen to appear at the center of every media shitstorm involving a celebrity body in the U.S.
How old is this guy?
Did you hear Steppy?
He's a real ass boomer. This guy was born in the 30s and he's still going strong.
They're probably giving him like the good
adrenochrome, bro. It's adrenochrome.
Yeah, it's adrenochrome. Yeah, it's adrenochrome.
Oh man, that really is adrenochrome. Man, Steppy, that almost killed me. You just going what? in the background.
Let Steppy roll for a second here. I'll be right back, gentlemen.
All right, dude. I don't know. That's crazy, right? That's crazy that you would, that I don't know. That seems like the huge conflict of interest.
Oh, it absolutely is. And here's the thing, about this whole situation is how little they're trying to avoid the appearance.
I know
of
it's like
impropriety.
Kevin. It's like Kevin Spacey with his freaking Christmas videos. It's like,
yeah,
it's
like
how more
posting
obvious
a video before you fucking assassinate somebody.
I know
the balls. The balls.
It's crazy. They don't care anymore. They used to hide
it. They really don't.
And they,
I think this is all for us to see. Like,
yeah, it is, right? It has to be.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
They keep trickling out these stories about, like, we lost this footage, this camera was off, just all, like, they're not suppressing it. They're giving it to us within the year this all happened.
They just know for a fact that the internet is, like, first of all, the internet is going to be dead within 10 years, and it's going to be called something new and something even scarier and crazier. And they know
it's going to be called Mesh Network.
Yeah, Mesh Network, and then it'll be called just Life.
Yeah.
And they know that's coming, and so they can do one of two things. They can continue to hide it, and be in the shadows about it, and hope that by the time that comes out, they will be long dead and not willing to answer for their crimes, which doesn't solve the problem in the first place. And the second option is that they can just do what they're actually doing, which is either one of two strategies. They're trickling, like you said, they're trickling out this information so that people can become accustomed to ineptitude at the highest levels, so that they can continue to play the stupid game. Or the other option there is I can't tell which one they're signaling here. The other option is they could be signaling, we are your masters. We can and will do whatever we want at any time. This is our business, not yours. And this is how the show runs from now on. And the way that that human history works tells me the latter is more likely of the two. But I don't know. But does that seem about right? That seems like the only which way that could be, if they're genuinely leaking this footage out, which they, I mean, like, not just footage, these stories.
What do you mean leaking the footage?
The stories in general, not just footage, stories in general, these stories.
Well, I was only
Kevin Spacey,
that up because it just came out that the footage from outside his cell,
yes,
the
that's
first
gone.
Alleged suicide attempt, that film was straight up destroyed.
Destroyed, it was destroyed,
and
right.
And the second one.
Right.
The second one was conveniently lost.
Right. Yeah. So actually, I was also referencing the Kevin Spacey putting a video out, you know, like 2 days before he assassinated
that
somebody.
That motherfucker is the ballsiest dude on
the
planet.
But seriously,
he's
straight up
announcing that he's going to murk people.
That's seriously what he said. It's insane. And
yeah,
that is I mean,
here's the thing that I have to take away from all this is, Bird, what you're saying about what is their message, like, what are they trying to say? I think that they're trying to say two different things.
You think there's no coordination here?
Well, no, what I'm saying is that what their actions are telling us, as in the people that kind of are aware more or less of what's going on, they're telling us one thing, which is that we don't care that you see us, we're going to do what we're doing, and you can't stop us.
Yes.
What they're telling the normies is that they're telling them something completely different. They're telling them, oh, well, yeah, you don't have to think about this, it's fine.
So they're just...
One is talking about, like, so I work with normies, and a lot of them are just kind of basic standard red team Trump voters, which, you know, you would expect for this kind of area. No one has mentioned Jeffrey Epstein. No one has mentioned Kevin Spacey. Like, they've talked about how they talk about the kayfabe. They talk about how the Democrats are full of shit for the impeachment, which, you know, is more or less true. But that's also the obvious distraction op. But it's obviously working. So we're existing. The world is really existing in two divergent planes, I feel, at this point. Like, because we can see a little bit of what the reality of the situation is, because the Jeffrey Epstein op is the biggest op that ever opped. Like,
it's insane.
It's insane.
It's actually, it has been so insane and obvious that it broke the mainstream.
Yeah, it broke the mainstream, and it got kind of guided into a joke, and, like, the phrase kind of lost meaning because,
that's actually exactly what I've been telling people, too. I'm sorry I cut you off like that, but I think it's so important to emphasize. You know, I was just tweeting about this, too. They have allowed it to become a joke because the joke is the limited hangout.
Yes.
That's how they diffuse the importance of it.
Yeah.
It's crazy that we can see this in retrospect, but people think like this in forward. It's wild.
And here's the thing. It's we've seen all of this before, because if you go back, what is it? It's 2020 now. If you go back, 11 or 12 years, and you talked about the government spying on everyone's communications, then you were a crazy conspiracy nut, and then you flash forward 6-7 years, and it's like, oh yeah, obviously they're doing that. Everybody knows, but no one cares. That's the same thing. It's that same pattern happening over and over. It's, oh, well, you're a conspiracy nut, and then that turns into, oh yeah, everybody knows.
Sure.
But everybody knows, and no one does anything, and no one cares.
They've already fostered enough apathy in the population that they don't need to obfuscate anything anymore.
Right. You know, and that, like, just goes back to yet another one of my pet phrases, right? A conspiracy theorist is just someone who's right 10 years too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Like, that's actually, I think it was you, Bird, that posted, are you the smartest person in your friend group and are you the craziest?
Yes.
In my mind, I was like, I'm not crazy, I'm just sane 10 years early.
Mm-hmm. Right. I let that question be very, I didn't answer anybody's question. I never do. I let it be open-ended.
Right.
It was very interesting to see how many people were like, yes and yes. Which I answered yes and yes. I'm very aware of the fact that you would be crazy to care about the things that we care about.
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's like,
you know what? I refuse to acknowledge that I might be crazy.
Well, let me put it to you this way: if you see somebody jumping off a bridge, get up, and then they walk back to the top of the bridge and they jump off again, wouldn't you look at that guy and go, "That's crazy"? Or, you know, wouldn't you, if somebody was, like, you know, cheese grating their face, you'd go, "That is crazy." Well,
wait, the guy survives a bridge jump and he's crazy?
He's wicked. He's wicked sick. You know, you see people harming themselves, and you go, man, that's crazy. But then really, like, mentally, when you learn some of the shit we learn, we are really just cheese grating our brains. That is a little bit crazy.
That is kind of why.
I mean, I'll say this. Go ahead. I keep cutting you off.
No, that's the nature of the game, man. But I will say this, like, that's one of the reasons why I've adopted the 2020. I kind of started this at the end of 2019, but my 2020 policy is do not look directly into the op. And
yeah,
like it was kind of funny. Someone who followed me, I was talking about that maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I was like, we need to develop some sort of op filter. And someone said, but you're the op filter, G-Man. You look at the op and tell us. And I was like, oh my God, can't do this.
Poor guy.
Yes. Yeah, we all must, you know, we have all have our crosses to bear. That's the...
Right.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. More on the Jeffrey Epstein thing. What are we actually saying now? Because I pause again, I think we were texting about it, and I think I declared to you, and so I will declare out loud, I think he's dead as dirt. I really do.
I think he's
what
dead
do you
as
think?
Dirt.
Yeah, you think so?
That guy is dead as a motherfucker. Yeah, there's no way they could let him. No way.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't feel, because if you look, it's never the facilitators and like the outer ring.
Look at him. Pause. Look at what he's saying. He's doing it. He's doing our hierarchy theory.
He is.
That's insane. Well, crazy.
I thought, isn't that just obvious to everyone?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. I thought I theorized that.
Oh, I mean, it's possible that it's multiple independent discovery. But,
okay, go ahead.
I just thought it was obvious.
Explain your theory about the hierarchies, that how they work, because this, Paz and I have been cranking out this social theory lately.
So my basic assumption is you have the inner circle, which is probably not the one that everyone thinks. Like, I think that there's probably a circle beyond that, the you know, your Clintons and, you know, your oligarchs, Bezos, that level, you know, probably Musk. those are the ones that get to interact with the public sphere.
Dude, this is insane. But this is so insane.
The facilitating branch, which would be like your Jeffrey Epstein's and like all of the traffickers, like the ones that form the network that perpetuates the child rape trafficking.
This is
those
insane.
Are the ones.
This is exactly those my theory.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's word for word. I mean, the words you're using are the same words.
I've never talked to either of you about this, have I?
That's amazing.
So,
Bird, you say you're not a conspiracy guy. You just hang around people who are far crazier than you.
That's true.
He's here riding our bullshit for his clout, and it's working.
Right. But that's the thing. It's like the people that aren't in that second echelon, the power of the throne, the visible power, the people down below that, they don't get any consideration as far as like getting evac'd and like having a separate hidden life or anything. I don't think that that's the case. Like the people, like Kevin Spacey gets to interact in the public sphere and be a celebrity, and the people that he rapes, they get to be killed because they're not important enough, you know?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Like, there would be... And the people that facilitate Kevin Spacey and all of the other ones, like, they are definitely the ones that are going to fall on the sword. So I expect... I'll go ahead and make my first 2020 prediction since it's early on in the year. I'm going to say that there will probably be at least 2 or 3... sacrifices from the Hollywood sex cult. Like,
The other day,
so,
that woman getting up there and holding a golden idol while she talked about how she sacrificed her kid for it. is
dude. That's got to be insane. Deliberate, right? Like that's that, not,
that's the
we're
sort
not
of
crazy,
two
right?
level. That's the sort of two level signaling that these people have always.
Now
done.
I don't know, man.
You know, they're talking to each other while talking at us.
That's isn't that something? I was like, that's straight up Luciferian. Like they're like the not. I don't know. What's amazing? It. Here, you want to, here, let's get into my conspiracy theories. the way that
the
evil
conspiracy theories you don't have.
The way that evil seems to work is we possess our own free wills and our own dominion over ourselves, right? So we do things that we just happen to do things. But like hidden deep within the things we do, the way we do them, the times we choose to do them, I think that's really where evil starts to pull the strings. And that woman, I don't know her subconscious motivations. I don't care about her subconscious motivations. The symbology that she represented by doing what she did intentionally or otherwise is absolutely in the playbook of evil itself. It is absolutely what there's the quote about how the devil prays like a roaring lion. Man.
Amen, Bird. Amen.
I don't know. Preach I look it, at that. I don't know how if indeed there was a malevolent force, it would be boastful and it would be it, but it would be clever. And that to me looked so boastful and clever. And it really well, not her, but almost no. That image. The image itself, right? The positioning, the timing, the placement, the words she used, the things she was holding, the outfit she it was all so cosmically
that right there is the great adversary telling us yes. He is not gone. He is the same as he's always
been. Straight up went he straight up went. This is the new idol, motherfucker. Babylon is still right here. It's scary, dude. It really was something
else,
wasn't
it? Something that I've said before is people like the rank and file, the bulk of humanity that has been exposed to popular culture, they have this perception of what evil is supposed to look like.
Right.
That's like cartoonish.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they don't understand that evil that is blatant and cartoonish and like big horned devils
sure,
and red
right.
scaly skin
oh my
and
God,
carrying a pitchfork.
You think a cosmic entity would be that blunt and stupid?
Right.
And if I can circle back here, that's why the trickster archetype that Ted and I are always on about is so freaking important.
Sure.
Because
right.
that's the key to it right there. It's 100%. The trickster archetype.
Yeah, yeah. Every mythological depiction of the bad character is that he's always a trickster. It's never that he's always a big dumb like Humbaba from the Tales of Gilgamesh, this sort of giant evil monster. Yeah, but he was slain. And then who is Humbaba's brother? Pazuzu. That's the real evil character.
Right.
That's the that is the real like,
funny
evil.
How it always comes back to Pazuzu.
Hey man.
Isn't it?
Hey man. I don't know. It might.
The and even if you just look at it from the idea of effectiveness, a cartoonish demon is not going to be effective because
no.
that's what people expect to see. A true source of malevolence and evil would be seductive.
Yes,
and
dominating.
Charismatic.
Yes.
And enchanting.
This thing
know,
is
like,
trying to build an army, remember. Its goal is to right. manifest itself in as many people as possible. It wouldn't, it's not, people, like you say, people's conception of the devil from Hollywood, people's conception of evil from movies, they think that the thing's goal is to scare you. No. It has much greater goals than you as an individual, you know?
Yeah.
It is not trying to, it
you
doesn't
can go
give
fuck
a shit.
Yourself.
Yeah.
It's about the 1,000 people
yeah.
around you.
Yeah, right. It's yeah. it's trying to make you go, like again, I mean, it's of course, it's the hissing creature telling you to eat the fruit, right? It's not.
Yeah.
That, and that's, it, hey, I we should pause. You and I should fucking do an episode on Genesis 3 one day, because it is, the most profoundly human story, I think, about like fucking up and being tricked into evil. And I think you can see shit like that all the time. That golden idol was the fruit, dude. it was the fruit for her. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, man.
It's really wild. I don't know, man. And I don't think that individual's evil at all. I don't think that individual's plotting, menacing. I don't even know who that person is. I certainly think the forces which compelled her to want that thing so badly are very evil.
Well, so Bert, it's like you and I were discussing, right? There's that group.
Right.
That
so here's our theory.
Know, that very
G-Man,
small
yeah.
group that are conscious servants.
Yes.
And there's the rest that are willfully misled, ignorantly misled.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. The top of the tops, the leaders and the sort of like, you know, the vampires, right? Like the ones who are really in the shadows, pulling the strings, world above the world leaders. Then you have the world leaders, you know, the people who keep everybody in check. And then you have like the debaucherous elite class.
The faces.
Yeah, the ones who sort of run culture. They control the culture. Yeah, it's all very hierarchically organized and has been since the fucking beginning of time, dude. Plato's Republic is an old ass book, and this is exactly what it talks about. It's old as shit, and it talks about all of this. It's fucking old as history, man, and it's never going away. You motherfuckers think that time isn't a cycle. Imagine thinking that. fuck. Oh, boy. Well, there's that. What else we got? I could keep going.
Yeah, man, I can keep rolling forever, but we just hit a high note. Now we need to transition here.
I'd like to offer a 2020 prediction because it's pretty related to this whole discussion.
Go.
So I'd like to make a call about what the next manufactured movement is going to be.
Okay. Let's get some qualifiers. Here. What do you mean? What do you mean by manufactured movement?
I'm specifically talking about things that came from the cathedral or a boardroom.
Okay.
But, you know, they get this sort of grassroots sensibility. They get a custom hashtag on Twitter.
Sure.
So we had Me Too.
Sure.
We had sort of the fallout of the Parkland shooting.
Yes.
That was its own thing with David Hogg.
Okay, so you don't mean like names. You mean like psychosocial movements?
Yeah, and
he's talking about manufactured
them.
Moments.
Okay.
He's talking about an op.
Oh, man. All right.
Yeah, ops on a grander scale.
Oh,
like,
man.
You know.
Okay.
So, Me Too, Parkland, we had Greta for the climate.
we sure did.
By the way,
gentlemen, really glad I have not heard commentary about her from any of you. Really glad about
it's
that.
It's so fucking irrelevant.
Absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah, it's all right through that one.
Absolutely.
It's
me too.
Yep. It's the most obvious op, and I've seen a lot of ops in my time.
And it's so compelling from so many angles, because if you don't fall for the, oh my God, why should we listen to a 16-year-old? You could fall for the, why isn't this kid in school? But I chose to fall for neither.
But back to Steppy here.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry, Steppy.
So I think coming around the corner, we're going to see from prominent Hollywood figures, I think, voluntary sterilization or promotion of one-child policies.
Oh, yes! Yes! Yeah. Oh,
So sacrificing my kids.
Right, we're going to see, like...
That's the perfect fucking kickoff, too.
I mean, we already saw it. I think there was, like, Amy Schumer. Did she get, like, a hysterectomy or something? But, like, she's an oddball. We're going to see a mainstream celebrity just be like, hey, I got sterilized and so should you.
I feel that you are very, very, you've got it. Like,
now,
did
you say decade prediction or year prediction?
2020.
No way.
It begins.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now, is there any indication of this? Like, where are you coming at this from? Or are you just...
Oh, it's just in the air. I just pulled it from the air.
Wow.
Human intuition is one of the most powerful things on the planet.
I agree.
Well,
you can trust your gut feeling.
I will say that is true, but I have seen one or two like far fringe instances of people. Like I saw screenshots of someone's talking about getting a vasectomy because of climate change.
Good.
Wait, did I say Amy Schumer instead of Lena Dunham? Oh, I meant that Lena. One.
Oh, they're all the same person.
Lena. Yeah, it's the same person. Jinx. So.
Good. Good. I honestly mean it's a goddamn moral shame for the fact that like abortions occur and things like that, and but vasectomies and sterilizations of all kinds, let them.
Like, oh, go ahead. I mean, I think that the externalities of that are far better.
The great thing about evolution is that it benefits the people who want to live the most.
Right. And all of this it's, you know, and I think that, you know, the abortion thing is one aspect of it, but
no,
the
sterilization really, I think, is we should, because there's less controversy there, right? It's your body, your choice, in indisputable, there is no even potential for argument secondary way,
right? And but the thing is, like, it's still in the same vein of like it a death culty sort of thing, you know?
It is. What were we just talking about? Her fucking sacrificing it for a kid. I mean, it's like, it's the movement itself can be whatever it is. I think that story tells you a whole lot. It comes through in the form of temptation and desire, not action, not ideology, you know, not reason. It comes through in, oh, I want that, you know, and that's it. It comes through in desire, and it's, you know, that compels most of these fucking things when they are truly Luciferian in their nature. I think that's what really compels them. Wild, man.
Yeah.
Steppy, I'm with you on the decade. We could see that.
Dude, there's no decade anymore. Like, the decade, like, 2030 is going to be unrecognizable.
Oh,
like,
for sure. You're right.
I think we're even making it to 2030, man. We're thinking way too far ahead.
Yeah, there's no 2030.
Did
Put
you
that
listen to my
right
podcast
like,
about
remember
the...
Remember the speed that we've been going at.
You're
like,
right.
It is January the 10th as of recording.
I know.
And so much shit has occurred.
I know.
Like, there's no chance.
We are hyper. We are in